Yeah, God is good. You know, it's another morning that, you know, we can share God's word and I was just saying that at times we have to give thanks to God, really. Thanksgiving is really the key to multiplication. Thanksgiving is really a key to multiplication. You might be in whatever situation you're facing, you know, it might not look like it. It might look like you are done, not like you're finished. But if you start to give thanks where you are, and I think the perfect example is Paul and Silas when they're in prison, you know. And the Bible says, and they started to give thanks to God, praying with a loud voice, and the prisoners heard them. And at midnight, the prison doors were shaken. their chains fell off. The doors opened. And for me, actually, the greatest miracle is not even the earthquake and the thing, is that you can imagine prisoners, all everyone's chains is loosed, the doors are open, and when the jailer saw the doors were open, he wanted to kill himself. And then Paul said, "Don't kill yourself, we are all here." For me, the greatest miracle is how prisoners who have been locked up, their chains break, the doors open, and no one runs away. No one does any prison break. They knew something supernatural was happening. Eh? Because God was targeting the house of the jailer to bring him to salvation, you know. And that's what we must understand, the heart of God. Every manifestation that God gives is to serve his purposes, is to serve people, to bring people to closer to him. It's not for the man of God to, you know, for, you know, the anointing is not for the man. It's a gift to the man of God, but it's not to validate the man of God, but it is to validate God. The anointing is meant to point us to God, is meant to reveal to us that God is real, that God is at work even in our times and seasons. And you know, some of the best examples of demonstration of God are living examples. It's one thing to read about books, it's one thing to read about, you know, the Bible, it's one thing to hear of stories, but if you see some God's demonstration in your own time, life, you're seeing really this is the hand of God. There's no better proof than that, because that is happening in real time and no one can take that away, because you saw someone coming crippled and you know this person is crippled. You've known him and the guy is now walking straight and you're like, what? You? How? When? When did it happen? These are not staged managed miracles. This is reality. And everyone must have a testimony such as that, of where God did something for them, that you can know it is only the hand of God. It is only the hand of God. And sadly, many people do not have this experience of God. They do not have this encounter with God where they faced something, where they had a challenge or a difficulty. And some, funny enough, everyone who was used mightily of God, they faced something. Look at Papa Hagin, Kenneth Hagin. He was on a sick bed for, I think he was 16, and I think they were ready for him to die. But then I think he was reading the Bible and it came to him that Jesus appeared to him and asked him, "Do you want to be well?" And he said, "Yes, I want to be well." And then I think the verse came to him that the word of faith that we speak, if you believe in your heart and you confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, and then that you will be saved, and then also speaking to this mountain, where if you believe, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, and you believe and do not doubt in your heart, you can speak to this mountain. And then he realized it is in the speaking. Then the guy started speaking, "I am well, I am well, I am well, I am well." And eventually he got out of that sick bed. And that is what started the Word of Faith movement. You know, the Word of Faith movement is where people learned to confess. They learned to confess what God is doing. They learn to confess where they want to go. They learn to confess the scriptures. They learn to confess faith, and they learn the power of speaking. And really, there is a lot of power in speaking, because our God is a speaking God. He didn't create the world by brute strength. He didn't like exert himself. He just spoke. Let there be light. Let there be light. And you know, that light that was first created is not the sun and the stars, because the sun and the stars were created on the fourth day. That light is revelation. Let there be revelation. Let there be revelation. Let there be understanding. And the first light that comes before even creation comes is revelation. God must give us insight. God must give us understanding. God must give us truth. Christ is first revealed in us before now he comes and manifests through us. You must have a revelation. You must have an understanding. You must have a truth that comes to you from your study of God's word, that comes inside you. That word that exists in the spirit, you have to study it and chop it until you eat it. And then after you eat it, then it becomes flesh. The word became flesh and makes his dwelling in us. So the word of God is so powerful that it can stay as a sound or as a voice. But then once it comes inside us and you meditate on it, and as you ruminate and as you dwell on it, then it becomes flesh. And you see, one of the things that we see, that how did even God visit Adam in the Garden of Eden? It was through the voice. And actually, it's good if you can go and read it, that he heard the sound of the Lord. Yeah, he had the sound of, as in, like, God did not walk, you know, like with legs. And when he was coming to visit Adam, it's a sound. He had the voice of the Lord coming, and he hid himself. So it's interesting that, you know, when we think about, when we try to understand who God is, it's he has so many dimensions to him, that even look at Elijah. You know, we've been speaking how God in the past spoke to the fathers, you know, and through the prophets. And you look at Elijah. And Elijah, when God told him, "Go, I'm going to speak to you," the first thing I think he hears was the earthquake. Then he hears the wind. Then he hears the fire. But God was not in all those things. But then he had a small, still voice. And then he covered his face. So many times we focus so much on the manifestation, so much on what is happening, so much on people screaming, so much on people getting miracles and all that, and yet we forget that it is the voice that we need to listen to. It is the voice of God that we need to hear. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. That means as the word of God is being spoken to you, there is another voice, there's another hearing that you need to hear that is specific to you. You must hear the voice within the voice. You must hear the voice within the word of God. The scriptures must be alive to speak to you. So always be sensitive as you're reading the word. What is God saying? What is popping out of those scriptures? What is the voice that is popping out? That is what makes the difference in your life. And each time you're praying, each time you're reading the word, be sensitive to that. There are certain thoughts that will come that are actually of God. There are thoughts that come might be distractions. Oh, there's ice cream in the fridge. Oh, there's this. Forget about those ones. But then there's an idea that will pop in your brain that you will know this. You are not even thinking about it. This came from the heart of God. As you prayed, God dropped something. Now, you must understand that our communion with God is a two-way communication. As you commune with God, he is also looking at what you are lacking. Remember Elijah and the Shunammite woman. Every time Elijah will pass, the Shunammite woman saw, "No, this guy is a man of God." He told the husband, let us invite him in. He came in to eat. Then he said, "Let us make for him a place to sleep." Then Elijah used to have a place. And then eventually she said, no. Then Elijah said, no. This woman has helped us too much. What can we do for her? Call her. Then he called her. He asked the woman, "What should we give you? I mean, what you have done? Should I speak to the king or what?" He said, no, I'm a rich woman. I have everything I need. I don't need anything. Then she left. Then the servant said, no, this woman is lying. Okay, yes, of course she's satisfied. She has everything, but she does not have a child. And then he said, "Call her." said, call her. And then he said, by this time, next year, you shall have a child. And then the woman was like, man of God, don't lie to me. Oh. Don't lie. I did not ask for this. Me, I was okay. So, heaven always is eager for those who are laboring in the things of God to come and ask, what should we do to this young man, to this young woman who is laboring in the things of God, who is focusing, who is so much working. And that is when God speaks. That is when God drops in you an idea. Oh, why don't you start this thing? Oh, you know, why don't you visit this person? Oh, why don't you go and talk to your boss? Oh, why is this not project? Remember this assignment you have not done. Remember, oh, why don't you add this to your thesis? Those speakings of God are the ones that give you divine direction and lead you to destiny. Because prosperity is not just about investment. Prosperity is about divine leading, divine direction, knowing what to do, when to do it, how to do it, why to do it. Now, anyone who is led by the Spirit of God, Romans 8 verse 14, those who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. So we must learn to know, how are we led by the Spirit of God? How do we hear the voice of God? We hear the voice of God when we are in communion with Him. It is only when you're having fellowship with your friend or with your wife, it's when you're having that union, when you're in good harmony, that is when you will hear what they are not saying. That's when you'll realize, oh, my wife is actually tired. You know, you'll realize actually, oh, this man actually is scared. There's something bothering. But if you're just interacting from an outward level, you will not know certain things. You understand? That's why the Bible says the secret things belong to the Lord, but the things revealed belongs to us. And the secret of the Lord, the counsel of the Lord, the secret of the Lord is with His servants. He reveals the secrets. There are secret things that God desires to reveal Himself. But they will only be revealed when you purpose to be in communion with Him. So in past times, God spoke to the fathers by the prophets. And today, I think you'll see the notes. I wanted us to look at Sarah. You know, Sarah is actually described as one of the ancients, one of the fathers. When you read Hebrews 11, you'll see that Sarah, by faith, Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed because she considered him, she judged him faithful who made the promise. Let us open that. Hebrews 11, so that we can just look at Sarah. Because it is interesting for Sarah, or Sarai, the mother of many nations. Because remember, God called her this, you are the mother of many nations. She received the promise. She was, I think they were around 65. She was 65 and Abraham was 75. When they got the word, you know that yes, the child will come through them. But then when she got to 70 and Abraham was 80, I've forgotten the exact times. She got tired. I think it was around 80. There was a time I'd done a study on that. Abraham was 80, she was 7. She got tired. She told Abraham, no, you go ahead and sleep with my maidservant. And that's when they wavered, and then she brought Ishmael. But then God still did not forget. And when she was 18, she was 89, and Abraham was 99, God now came with those three men in Genesis. And Abraham invited them, and as they ate, then what happens is that then God says, tell Abraham, by this time next year, your wife Sarah will have a son. Now, when you ask yourself, Sarah, I'm sure she was very smart because she was listening through the tent. And of course, God knew she was listening. So that's why she gave the promise. You can imagine, when people... Even when you're not close, when someone else is receiving of God, wait also to hear what is God saying for you. That's what Sarah was listening. And as she listened, then it was said that she will have a child. Then she laughed. And then God asked, but why did you laugh? And they said, no, I did not laugh. Of course she was scared. She lied. We are all human beings. And you go through those moments, But then the Bible says that Hebrews 11 verse 11, and by faith, even Sarah, who was past childbearing age was enabled to bear children because she considered him faithful who made the promise. Look, it's a very simple... I can imagine from the time she laughed and 3 months' time, if she conceived within those 3 months, because 1 year is... She must have conceived within those 3 months. Eh? The Bible says she moved from laughter, laughing at herself, laughing at, oh, can a woman again who is old like me enjoy the benefits of a child? But then she got to ask herself, who is it is speaking? She judged him faithful. Ask yourself right now, if let's say Elon Musk or Bill Gates comes and tells you that I want to hire you now, whatever you want to pay you, I'll pay you. Even if you do not, you are saying you'll want to work where you're working, you will quit. And your plans will change immediately. Your career will change immediately. Why? Because you consider this guy is the richest man in the world. Whatever he's asking me to do, I don't think I can be poor man forever for the rest of my life. Your life will change. People say they have plans, but when Bill Gates or the rich people appear, their plans change. Eh? So now consider this a man. Now how about God? How about God who says all the silver and gold is mine? Who is the creator of the heavens and the earth? Who knows your destiny from now to tomorrow? Who holds your life? Who holds every human life in his hands? Now, what Sarah did, the reason she's considered among the elders, among the fathers, is that she considered him faithful who made the promise. I don't know what God has promised you today, but if you consider that God is faithful, you shall receive it. And you know the beauty of it? Sarah did not just give birth and die after 2 years. The Bible says she died when she was 127 years. If you subtract 127 and 90, that means she enjoyed her son for 37 good years. That was a blessing. You can imagine she's an old woman, yes. She has given birth, yes. You think she will die? No. No. She enjoys until her boy is 37. I need to check when Isaac gave birth, when married, because I think, no, he married, I think, when he was 40. Yeah, because he was comforted when the mother was gone. Yeah, but 37 good years. So God's blessings are available and you will enjoy the blessings of God. And one thing that I love is, there's this verse that, I forgot exactly where it is, it says that, I will live and I will not die, and I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. You must see the goodness of God in this life first. don't wait for the land of the dead. In this land of the living, you will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. If you're faithful, if you consider him faithful, if you trust what God has spoken over your life shall come to pass. God is God. He is bigger than men. He is bigger than the rich men. He is bigger than your uncles. He is bigger than your bosses, those who made promises. God is the one who you consider faithful. Your covenant is not with the men. Your employer is not your employer. Your employer, you're in the service of God. If you know that your contract does not come, promotion does not come from the east or from the west, but it comes from God, then you have the confidence to put your hope in God and not to put your trust in men. And even when the door closes, then you just say, no, a bigger door is coming. This is not my door. Your language must change when you know God. Your language, the way you speak of things, the way you speak of closed doors, it must change. You can't speak the same way. A bigger door, something better. This was not it. Nothing says no to me. If it says no, it is because it's not mine. Something is coming. Something better. God is preparing a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You are a high priest in the order of Melchizedek. Thy people shall be power, shall be willing in the day of thy power. You shall rule in the midst of your enemies. Thy rod of your strength shall go from Zion. Go and read Psalms 110 and just meditate on that. Psalms 110. Those are promises for the Messiah. And remember, we are joint heirs of Christ. So every promise that is for Christ is ours. And every promise that is for Christ is ours. Because he is our firstborn brother and we are firstfruits with him. So we are made like him. Oh my God, there's just so much there. Let me just stop there for now. That is enough for today. Oh my God. Yes, my brothers. Go ahead. Hallelujah. Kadabashi. Yeah, glory to God.
Thank you for that.
Amen.
Thank you for that word of God, the reminder that faith is confess, faith is all that we need to hold on to. At moments, we need to seek for that faith.
Yeah.
And I think as men, we often seek for, you know, for perishable food to try and quench our, to fulfill our hunger, which is lovely, but we forget that there's that everlasting food, which is in Christ Jesus. And until we start seeking for that, which brings life, which rejuvenates the spirit that right in our hearts, then we're being lost. And that's when even the faith suffers. If you only aim at feeding your body, aim at feeding the desires of the flesh, without going at everlasting food that was given to us, the blood and the death of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you. Many times.
Yeah.
We presume to have faith when we are in time of need.
Yeah.
I think our faith is tested mostly when we have it all, and we know that it is God to come and provide certain things, not because we're desperate at that moment.
Yeah.
And, you know, because I've seen many people, even me myself, how many times have you gone before God and said, God, 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 if you take me through this, I'll never do it.
This is the last one.
If you save me past this, I'm done.
Yeah.
Just a few minutes, a few moments from that, you're back. That is the desperate faith that I'm talking about. Really, it's not even faith, it's just desperation.
Yeah.
But God, loving and merciful, even if he knows you're not, it's not coming from the right place. But it wished bad for us.
Yeah, true. He loves us, yeah.
Yeah. We'll see you through. But then, because God finding your needs on earth, God answering your prayers when you, it does not definitely qualify you for the kingdom of God. You know, we need to work on that faith that have in Christ. I know it doesn't come easily, as I shared with you in the past, that I was the kind that comes from that, you know, I'm a realist. You know, I calculate through everything. But then faith sometimes requires believing in the impossible.
Yes.
Look at that, that story you've given of Elizabeth, you know, and Sarai. You know, of Sarai, you know. She's in menopause.
Of course, menopause, yeah.
Well, then she got a child.
Yeah.
That is something, if you tell someone these days, they will be like, no, that kind of eggs, you know?
Yeah, true. But God can make can return the hormones again, and the cycle can start again at any point. The doctors are doing it now. Now, God, they're copying what God did for Sarah, but they're doing it for 70-year-olds. Yeah, true.
How much we can gain and achieve by only working on our faith in God. And everything in me. Also, thank you. And that's all I can share about.
No, thank you. Give glory to God. Yeah. Yemen, anything you want to add?
I think this is fine from my side today.
Okay.
We have short time, so we can conclude it through a prayer.
Oh, okay, that's good. So you'll be the one praying for us today then?
No, you pray.
No, you will pray. Why not? Why not you?
Yeah, I can. Okay.
Yeah, pray.
Okay. Thanks, Holy Father, for the day. Actually, I want to thank from my bottom of heart that we some committed follower, we gathered together. We praise to Lord that we are here. We praise to you the days at, for the good morning, and we praise to you that early in the morning we are able to complete our fellowship. Mm-hmm. So I want to keep us all in your hand, and please make our day beautiful. Please able to complete our work successfully. Please use us to establish your kingdom, to spread your kingdom. So thanks God, thanks Holy Father. Amen.
Amen. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much. That was powerful. May God bless your day. Bless you. Let's catch up tomorrow and also during the day as necessary. Amen. Okay, bro. Bye-bye.